All right, a couple announcements before we jump into what we're teaching. There's some questions that people are asking me privately. What are we doing according to what's happening in the world with the Delta variant, those types of things? I'm going to communicate to you guys again as a church what I'm watching. The key metric that I'm watching is what the Chicago Public Schools do. So I want to let you guys know that. If the Chicago Public Schools remain open, we are going to remain open as a church. If the Chicago Public Schools go into lockdown and they do what they're doing at home, then we're going to transition and we're going to move. I know that that's a deep breath of, okay, I get that. But remember, what we're doing is for each other's safety because of maturity and because of love. We're not doing this because of fun. We're not doing this because of pleasure. We're not doing this because of sunshine, rainbows, lollipops. Was there one that I missed? Unicorns. That's not the goal. That's not what we're doing. Scripture says when you have been taught the word of God, you will mature into amazing bonding and love inside of the body of Christ. And that's what we're supposed to do. Go read Ephesians, okay? So I wanted to give you guys that heads up. Currently, that's not where we're at, but I want you to know we are paying attention to it. I am watching. I am paying attention to the times, and I want to care for you and your family and things that are going on. To my crew in the backyard, thank you so much for being out there. Yes, it was a little bit wet, but apparently some of the chairs needed to be cleaned just a little bit more than my wife and I cleaned them earlier this morning, and so we dried those off for you guys. I hope that you guys are comfortable out there and back there. Also, we're going to do the Lord's Supper at the very end. So here in the basement to your over here on the right, over on the edge, there's the Lord's Supper. They were on your chairs over here to the left. In the backyard, there's a group of them sitting there. Some more. If you're at home, I don't know where it is. So I will let you be in charge of that. But I wanted to give you that heads up of where we're going. The other thing that I wanted to give to you is we're wrapping up our series on shame, which here's the good news. After today, there will be no more shame. We have handled it. We have dealt with it in 7 weeks. We have checked the box, and we won't deal with it again. We will move. No. That's not the idea. That's not the portion. That's not the direction. I hope that what this is a springboard for you to have some amazing conversations for the rest of your life about what is shame, what is going on, what are you feeling, and that you can have some language to be able to talk about those things, that you can identify when the shame attendant is showing up in your own life, and you can realize, oh, that's not God, that's not love, that's not the direction I'm supposed to be going, and you can choose in wisdom a better choice. So we got together months ago, and it was Chelsea, Jen, Siobhan, and myself, and we were on a Zoom call, and we were talking about the shame series, and we were talking about different verses and things to come up with and different things to use and those types of things. And months ago, God put this on my heart. We're going to jump into Luke 24, 13 through 25. Now, in November of 2020, I taught on this in the Luke series. It was the road to Emmaus, and I taught a little bit different direction that I'm going to teach today. What I want to bring up today when we jump into this topic is simply this. How do you recover when you're wrong? How do you recover when you're wrong? Now, I have never been wrong in my life, but I have a lot of examples where people believe I was wrong, and there's a lot of evidence that I was wrong, but pridefully, I have been wrong on so many occasions in so many ways. So let me tell you two stories where I was wrong, and I could pick massive amounts of stories where I have been wrong, but let me tell you two stories when I was wrong. The first story I want to tell you is one day I came home, I was in my 30s, I had two small children. My two small children were doting and loving. They listened to everything that I said. They were like, yes, Father, how can I help you? And it was great. I would come home, my children would line up with my wife, they would sing Father's Home. It's a beautiful song. You guys should all hear it when my kids sing it. No, that's not what it was. And so I would come home to chaos. I had left chaos. I had been on a freeway in chaos, and then I was returning into the depths of chaos. Have you been there? Some of you guys are currently there. So I come home, I come in, my daughter, and again, my daughter, spicy, caliente salsa. That is my daughter. She has always been somebody who's wanted to take me on. I remember people coming and looking at me like, is your daughter crazy? And I was like, yes, it comes from the Arnold side. So So what I wanted to shame, blame, I get it. Come on, laugh with me a little bit. So I come home, and my daughter had done something, and last night I was sitting at the dinner table with my family trying to figure out what it was that my daughter did. And my daughter was gracious. She's like, Dad, I've done a lot of things. Just pick something and just tell the story. So we couldn't remember exactly what it was that I thought that she had done. Now, let me phrase this. I thought that she had done. She hadn't done it. And I came in, and there was enough evidence for me to believe that she had done it. And so I disciplined her. One of the big things for my daughter, discipline, is to not be in community. For her to be isolated from people is absolute disaster. And so sending her to her room was absolute pain. When I was growing up, if you sent me to my room, you were dumb because everything I wanted to do was in my room and I didn't want to be with you. So you sending me to my room was like, that's punishment. But for my daughter, it was punishment. For my son, he never came out of his room. So that wouldn't be a punishment. For him to actually stand outside in the sun would have been punishment. So we had to figure out what we were going to do for punishment. So I punished my daughter and I was like, you go to your room. And she was like, I didn't do it. And the problem is with my daughter, that was always her statement. I didn't do it. So I ramped up my discipline. You did too. Don't lie to your father. Get to your room now. And then I used my big bear voice. Dads, you know the big bear voice? The big bear voice is what makes children lose their ability to hold liquids inside of their bodies. And so I used my big bear voice, and she left screaming to her room, slammed her door, went into her room, and just cried. And then I got to deal with Mama Bear. I would like to say that Danielle handled it with excellence and expertise and precision. That's not the way it went. It went really ugly. But the thing was, is as I was listening to my wife communicate to me, the Holy Spirit was like, you're wrong. You're wrong. So now I'm not only arguing with my wife, I'm arguing with my daughter. Now I'm arguing with the Holy Spirit. Has anybody won a battle with the Holy Spirit? Okay, just show of hands. Has anybody tried to fight the Holy Spirit in this room? Right. Okay. It usually ends in bruises. And so I'm literally fighting with my wife, and I finally, through the grace of God, through my pride, realized I was wrong. Dang it. I hate being wrong. Anybody like being wrong? Anybody like just like, you're just like, today on my list, I want to be wrong. Like those, like there's a couple things. For me, I'm like, I want to be wrong that it's going to snow. Like, you know, those types of things. But, or I want to be wrong, you know, like there's things I want to be wrong on. But when you're wrong. So I got an angry wife. I got a Holy Spirit saying, hey. I got a daughter who's crying, who doesn't even get to my waist in her height, but she thinks she's 10 times bigger than me. And I got to swallow my pride. And I got to walk in and apologize to my daughter. So I walked in. You guys know the walk of shame. Walked down the hallway, knocked on the door. Hey, can I talk to you? My daughter handled it well. No, go away. So I said, well, I need to apologize to you because I was wrong. Now, what that does is that opens up so many things. It's really hard when someone goes, hey, I need to apologize, I'm wrong, and you yell, no, go away, because then you're really not okay. And so my daughter was like, yeah, you can come in. And I came in, and I was like, look, I was wrong. What I accused you of is not what you did, and I misread the information, and I was wrong, and I am sorry. I yelled at you, I sent you to your room, and that was inappropriate, and that's because your dad messed up. I'm sorry. Good. Now I can go back to my day. No, Mama Bear is still in the kitchen. I have yelled at her child. So now I have to go into the kitchen and I have to apologize to my wife and I have to walk through that process. Let me ask you a question. Do you have the maturity to admit to people when you're wrong? Because the world teaches you not to admit that you're wrong. The world teaches you to cover up. The world teaches you to lie. The world teaches you to blame. And that's not anywhere in Scripture. And so when you cover up and you lie and you hide and you blame, you give shame power. And that's the absolute opposite of vulnerability, which leads to freedom. I got another story for you. Some of you guys are going to laugh at me because I'm old. Some of you guys don't even know what this is. This is a VHS cassette. A long, long time ago in the dark ages before electricity, we used to have things called video stores. And you would go to a video store and you would hope that there was a video that you wanted to see. And the way you found it was you walked for hours around this room looking for a sacred box. And when you had found that box, you grabbed it quickly, as fast as you could, and you held it up like the Lion King. And then you would run together as a group, and you would all show what boxes you had to choose which two you would take home. And so we had a problem in our family. Our problem in our family was called late fees. Does anybody know what late fees are? Late fees are you go to the place to rent the cassette for $5, and then you take it home that night for $5, but then later on you return and give them $50 more because you really liked having the cassette in your home. Well, one time I came in to rent a movie, and I go up to this mom and pop shop, Mr. Video, on Van Buren and Arlington, and I walk in and I get my box and I come to the register and I put my video down because it's Friday night, we're gonna do pizza, we're gonna be with the family, it's gonna be great, I'm an awesome dad. And the guy goes, I can't rent that to you, you still have a movie out. And I was like, no, we don't. And he's like, no, you still have a movie out. And he said, it's actually been out for 3 weeks. I was like, No. He's like, I'm sorry, I can't rent that to you. You need to pay. And I think at this point in time, it was like $100 in late fees. And I was like, no, I'm not paying $100 in late fees. Hold on. So I went home, went to my wife. I was like, babe, that movie that we rented 3 weeks ago, did we? She's like, no, I turned it in. It's all been turned in. It's totally turned in. We don't have it. We looked through the whole house. We looked by the VCR. We scanned through the cars, everything. I went back to the store. I was like, look. One of your teenagers must have made a mistake and not logged it in. We put it in the box. We've done what we're supposed to do. We didn't do this. And the teenager's like, I can't handle this. He's like, is there a manager? He's like, well, actually, the owner's here. So the owner came out, and I let the owner have it. I was like, look, we have been with you for 8 years. We've been doing this stuff. We've been renting to you. We have not gone to Blockbuster Video. We are here in the family place. This is what we're doing, and I'm not paying $100 for a video that we have turned in and you have messed up on. And the owner looked at me and said, okay, we'll wipe it off. And rented me another video. 3 weeks later, I was cleaning my wife's car. And underneath my wife's seat was the movie. Had a couple options. Throw it in the trash. No one would ever know. I could keep it. No one would ever know. And the Holy Spirit said, get in your car and go apologize. It was already $100. 3 more weeks later, another $100 at least, minimum. Not only that, it was an important movie that person had paid $250 to $500 for them to have in their store to be able to rent out to other people. So it was them not being able to make money. And no, this is not the tape. This right now is Danielle's like Poway High School band marching. So if you ever want to watch it, you know, I mean, if you just want to just tears. I don't know what the tears of emotion will be for, but there'll be tears. Yes, you can rent it. So I got in the car. I drove back. I go to the store. I walk in and I have it in my walk of shame. I walk up to the teenager at the desk and I said, is the owner in? Hoping the owner wouldn't be in. Do you guys think the owner was in? Isn't that the way the Lord works? Yes. Especially on his pastors. Walk in, I said, sir, can I apologize to you? And he came out, he looked at me, and he remembered that I was not pleasant. Have you ever not been pleasant to somebody at a store? Have you ever used your right to complain and gripe because their day has been going great and you're just going to encourage it more? And I just said to him, I said, sir, I was wrong. We didn't turn in the videotape. I was wrong. And you were right. And you were gracious enough to forgive me. I owe you all the back renting. And I owe you the extra 3 weeks. And I went and handed him the tape. The owner looked at me shocked. And I was like, how much do I owe you? Like, let's do this. And the owner goes, nothing. You're the first person who's ever admitted to me and brought the cassette back in all my years of doing this. It's free. And I just looked at him. I felt so insulted in myself of how stupid I was, how dumb I was, the belief systems that I had, the choices that I made, what I believed somebody else did, that they were wrong in me and I was in the right. And here was this guy, it was his livelihood that I was stealing. And he forgave me. Dang. What do you do when you're wrong? We go through this story. I want you to look for shame. I want you to look for shame and how it comes out. I want you to look for fear. I want you to look for distrust. I want you to look for isolation. I want you to look for hurt in the story. It's going to come out in many different ways. It's all over the place. And I want you to look at how this group recovers from a mistake they made. Jesus has died on the cross. Jesus has resurrected early that morning. Some women have run in and the tomb is empty. But we catch up later in the day with a group of people. And it says this in verse 13 as we're in Luke 24, 13 through 35. It says, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? And as they stood still, looking sad, then one of them said, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Pause. Notice they didn't call him God. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. Notice they're shaming this man that he doesn't know everything that's going on. Are you clueless? Are you not paying attention? Do you not know the news? Do you not know what's going on? But we had hoped, look at that word hoped, that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Do you see distrust? Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Okay, Jesus is harsh. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. Jesus sets the record straight. Jesus brings truth in. Yes, the truth hurts, but Jesus brings the truth. So they drew near to the village which where they were going, and he acted as if he was going further. Jesus is like, I'm going to keep going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. What they're saying is it's dangerous to be on the road at night. Thieves and bad things happen. People get beat up. People get like attacked. This is not the place. Don't go further alone. Stay with us. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. Verse 31, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. So much depth right there in that one, verse 31. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. By the way, when he opened the scriptures, Jesus did not stop and roll out a scroll while they were walking and reading. No, Jesus just told them about the scriptures. And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They went back the same road that was dangerous. They went back the same road that they told Jesus not to get on. It's dangerous. And the 11th hour, they rose and they gathered together. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. So they show back up in the room. The 11 are there. They're saying the Lord has risen indeed and he's appeared to Simon. And the people who are coming from Emmaus are hearing this testimony. And then they say, they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you please bless us, whether we're online, whether we're on the podcast, whether we're in the backyard, whether we're in the basement. God, whether we're mulling over this for the coming days, Lord, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to fail, because if we're not making mistakes, we're not trying anything difficult. If we're not making mistakes, we're not being stretched and we're not growing. If we're not making mistakes, then God, there's no room for us to heal, and we feel that we're perfect and we don't need your sacrifice. And God, we need your sacrifice. As it was said this week in Bible study, I feel like I need to repent. God, whenever your scriptures are brought forth in front of us, whenever you walk near us, whenever you describe to us and reveal to us the truth of scripture, yes, we should repent. For all fall short of the glory of God, including myself and everybody else. We all have late fees on VCRs and things that we have not turned in. Help us, Lord Jesus. Bless us. It's in your name, God, we pray. Amen. So how do you recover? How do you recover when you make a mistake? How do you rebuild relationship? Because let's be super honest. When you fail, you break relationship. I broke relationship with a person at a movie store. I broke relationship with my daughter. I broke relationship with my wife. When you fail and you break relationship, how do you recover the relationship? Point number one, Jesus is near you. Point number one, Jesus is near you. So in verse 15, Jesus draws near. What I want you to know is even in your failure, even in your mistake, even in whatever you were trying to do, Jesus is with you. And that needs to be your basis of where you take off from. Your basis to take off from is not the newest sociological ideas that psychologists and people are coming out with in the newest journals that are written. You don't need to base your next steps on what the people on The View say. You don't need to base your next steps on what CNN is communicating. You don't need to base your next, don't base your next steps on anything but the foundation of God Almighty. That's where you say amen. You start with Jesus. Don't start with your hurt. Don't start with your pain. Don't start with what you were trying to do. Don't start with anything but Christ. Because it's in Christ, his life and his death, that you can be restored. If you want restoration, that's where you start. Jesus is near you. That's in verse 15. We see it. Jesus draws near. Verse 27 tells us to review the teachings of God. The second thing that you need to do when you have made a mistake is you need to review the teachings of God. Yes, you have, and again, I'm not trying to be super, super brutal and rude. This is a book. This is not the Word of God. Do not let a book that you are reading trump the Word of God. Do not let a book that you are reading prioritize over God. Yes, you liked it. There were cool pictures. You opened it. Things popped up and moved. That's great. Yes, there is truth in here, but this is not the truth. So don't let the teachings of this world override what God is teaching you. Review the teachings. I find a VCR tape in the back of the car. I have some choices. I can throw it away and pretend no one saw it. What does Scripture tell me? God is watching. What does Scripture tell me? God sees me. So is no one going to see me throw this away? Scripture tells me that my God is watching me, my God is paying attention to me, and my God is tracking what I'm doing. And Scripture also tells me that it will be rewarded to me choices of righteousness, and it will be withheld from me choices of stupidity. I would like to have a couple extra things in eternity, mainly a surfboard and the ability to tan. Okay? Review the teachings of God. Point number one, Jesus is near you. Even in your pain, even in your hurt, even in your frustration, Jesus is near you. And you know what shame wants you to do? Wants you to reject the very thing that can help you. Shame wants to isolate you. Shame wants to push you away. Shame wants you to quit. Do you know the average life cycle of a pastor in a church is 3 years? Do you know why pastors only stay in churches for 3 years? Because they're shameful and they feel like they need to move somewhere else to try something new. Do you know what the average life of somebody in a church is that's just an attender? Look it up on Google. Gallup will give you that information. Why do people jump from church to church to church? Because they're running from shame. They're running from hurt. Usually what happens, Michael, you're here, you've been paying attention for 9 years, when someone finally has the light revealed on them and they have a choice between healing, which is vulnerability, confession, life change, or running. Isn't that the way it works? Some of you guys in this room, you've had that moment. You've had that road to Emmaus moment. Jesus has walked with you. He has broke bread with you, and you are sitting at the table, and you have a choice. Do I turn the tape back in and own it and admit it, or do I throw this tape in the trash and keep walking the road I'm going? And let me help you guys out. Wherever you go, your bags follow you. How about we leave some bags behind? Amen? Aren't they heavy? How about, you know, you guys, have you guys ever gone to the airport with the bag with the broken wheel? Mm-hmm. Has anybody gotten a piece of luggage back from the airline that has been crushed? And it's like, you can't even duct tape that dumb thing. Okay? I've been on vacation having to find some luggage. What I'm trying to tell you guys is this. Shame is healed in community. It's the number one factor to heal. Christianity is done in community. And if you keep changing communities, you keep starting over. Now, stop for a second. For some of you, that's good. You think that's good. Because you don't have to actually change. You can go somewhere else and start over, and you get another 3 years. You get to go through your old high school stories again. You get to tell your old college stories. You get to go to small group and do what you're doing. And people, for the most part, when you first start out, are pretty nice. We're generally nice, right? We let you share what you're going to share. But about 9 months in, we start going, hey, that doesn't add up. Hey, but then we're like, no, we want to be gracious. You know, we don't have a good enough relationship to be able to actually talk deep. And then we get an actually good relationship to talk deep. And the mature ones stay. And the other ones run. Now, in our church, people have been called by God to leave. I'm not putting that down. That's what the Lord does. But when you get challenged in fear and you get challenged in shame and you want to bolt and run, that's not health. That's not good. I want to encourage you guys to start knowing what that direction is. Review the teachings of God. Point number three, allow your heart to burn with love. It doesn't have to burn with anger. It doesn't have to burn with hate. It doesn't have to burn with revenge. It doesn't have to burn with me being seen as right. Let your heart burn with love. Look at verse 32. They said, yeah, when we were walking with them, didn't your heart burn with love? Has anybody in here been in love? When was the last time your heart burned in love? Do you know when your heart burns in love, you're willing to do really stupid stuff? Dumb stuff. Like stand in front of a dorm with the radio over your head when stalking was cool in the 80s. It's not cool anymore, but in the 80s, we didn't know it wasn't cool. We just thought it was just sharing our love. Did you go to the ballet or the Nutcracker during Christmas? Yes. It's because you were in love. Some of you guys are like, Pastor, what's wrong with that? It's amazing. What did you do for love? When I was a kid and I was in love, we would get on the phone and just be on the phone. Just be on the phone. What are you doing? Just sitting here? Me too. Yeah. Are you breathing? I am. Yeah. What's that on the radio? That's a good song. What station are you listening to? That's cool. Yeah. Mom, I'm on the phone. Wait. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, no. We don't have call waiting. I don't know if anybody's calling. It's good. Some of you guys who are old know what I'm talking about. Yeah. M, did you guys fight in your house? Yeah. Did anybody else have that real long cord that just stretched through the whole house and went into a special room that you were, yeah, okay. Enough. Let your heart burn with love that you would be willing to go into a video store and be like, I was wrong. that you would love, that you would walk in for someone else. It was my wife who was wrong, that I was standing up for, that I was trying to be the knight in shining armor and be so amazing. And she's like, you told that video store. Yes, I did, babe, because you love me. Yes, I do love you. Wow. But when you're in love with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you walk into the video store and you say, I was wrong. You walk up to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and you say, I was wrong. The way I treated your daughter, the way I treated your son, the way I treated your leaders, the way I treated your followers, the way I treated your sheep. We just got done focusing a little while ago. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, take care of my lambs. If you love me, be a part of my family. And when you love, you'll put up with stuff, won't you? Some of you guys already are starting to realize you've circled point number three and you've already prayed, Lord, create that love in my heart that I burn for what you burn for. Amen? Point number four, return to your calling. Verse 33, they go back to where they were. They had fled, they ran, they quit. And again, there's massive trauma. Their leader was killed. Their leader was brutally, if they could take Jesus down, what could they do to me? I get why they ran. I get why they took off. They were in there in the morning. The women came in and the women said, he's alive. And they didn't believe. They still left. So what do you do when you've left and you've traveled somewhere else where you're not supposed to be? Go back. Prodigal sons and prodigal daughters, when you choose choices that are terrible for your marriage, terrible for your own life, terrible for your soul, terrible for your friendships, own it. Return that video cassette, pay the fees, and mature and move on. Like, man, he's not leaving VHS alone. Does he know there's DVDs? Return to your calling. Where did the Lord call you? What did he ask you to do? Be there. Do it. But Nathan, it's not fun. Okay. I guess that's a reason not to do it. Nathan, I'm not getting any recognition. Okay. I guess that's a reason not to do it. Nathan, people aren't responding well to me. Okay. I guess that's a reason not to do it. What did the Lord ask you to do? And will you do it because you're burning for love for him? You'll just do it. And it's okay. The outcomes are the outcomes. This morning, when the heavens broke up and Danielle and I had set up the whole backyard and then the earth decided to cry on all of our work, I was like, okay, I guess no one's going to come to church today. And I'm not judging anybody. I just want you guys to hear. There's a part of me that feels like I have to do all these things for stuff to happen. And God's like, I'm bigger than that. So whether you're online or whether you're present or whether you're wherever you're at, or maybe you're just soaked because you came out the door and you just got hit and you're like, I'm not going soaked. That's fair. I'm not judging anything. What I'm saying is even in my own heart, there's a part of me that just goes, have you been there? Still do your calling. If the Lord told you, Andy Burton, if you're listening, to host prayer once a month online with realtors around Chicago to pray for the healing of Chicago, it doesn't matter who shows up and it doesn't matter what prayers are prayed. It matters that Andy Burton gets online and does it. Does that make sense? And if the Lord told you to teach at Clemente, or if the Lord told you to teach at North Park, or if the Lord told you to teach at Avondale Logandale, do it. Let God be in charge of the outcome. If you're somebody who gets to wear PJs for 6 days of the week and sit in your own house and your name is Darren. I love you, Darren. Do it. Does that make sense? Return to your calling. So now I've set you up to be able to do the next step. A lot of people rush to the next step, but they don't do the next step correct. And the next step is admit your mistake. Own it. Own it. Admit your mistake. I mean, come on, guys. They had to tell a story. Yeah, we were in Emmaus and we ran into Jesus. Wait. You were a day away from Jerusalem? Yeah. Did you run? Mm-hmm. Did you abandon us too? Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. They had to own it. You want to be one of the ladies in the room? We told you Jesus was alive. We told you that an angel showed up and talked to us. You didn't believe me? See all the shame? See all the hurt? See all the pain? Cleopas, his name gets named. The other dude doesn't get named. Cleopas says, why am I in scripture? Like, what? Rick was with me. I don't know if his name was Rick or not, but come on, right? Larry. Okay, I don't know. Any of those really like random names. Sorry if your name is Rick or Larry. Admit your mistake. When you're wrong, you're wrong. Here's some key ways to admit you're wrong. Hey, I was wrong. What I did, yelling at you, Leah, was inappropriate. I thought that this was the answer. That was not the answer. I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? I've had many people come to me and apologize well, and I have many people come to me and not apologize at all and feel like they apologized. Are you somebody who's good at apologizing? Are you good at saying that you were wrong? Are you good at coming back in relationship and saying, hey, I'm sorry? Now, there's some things that we can't move from. You may be hurt that we're standing on the scriptures. You may be hurt that this is what God has called us to do. I'm sorry that you're hurt. I can't change the behavior that I'm doing. I still have to stand and be here, but I recognize your hurt and your pain, and I'm sorry for it. I don't want you hurt. Very few of us go through the day trying to hurt people. But you can admit your mistake. When was the last time you said sorry to your spouse? It's like, oh, dang, he went deep and quick. When was the last time, I mean, let's just be super honest. People who are really good at pointing out that people are wrong are usually not good at apologizing. I get that that's a general blanket statement, but let's just sit here for a second. If you're somebody who likes to accuse other people of being wrong, when was the last time you apologized? Scripture says, judge and it'll be judged to you. Scripture also says, treat people the way you want to be treated. If you're a judgmental, critical person and you're having judgment and criticism put upon you, why are you upset? If you're a loving and gracious person and people are pouring love and grace upon you, why are you upset? You see how that works? You're usually not upset when people are pouring love and grace on you. Admit your mistake. Sixth one, allow restoration. Restoration takes time. Restoration is different. Depending upon what happened and what occurred has to do with how long restoration takes. This week I was working with a couple, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you details, but a couple where there was an affair inside of the marriage. And it was an affair that had a period of time attached to it. It wasn't a one-off mistake. It was something that went on for a long period of time. In other words, now to walk the road of restoration, it's gonna take a long time. And it would be inappropriate for that spouse to say, well, I said I'm sorry, why aren't you over it? Whew, whew. There are consequences, like late fees, that we have to pay on stuff. But that doesn't mean that we don't work towards restoration. If I didn't have all the money to pay back the person and I said, hey, can I be on a payment plan? Like, there's stuff you can do to make it right. But are you willing to walk the road of restoration? What does that look like? I mean, these guys had to come in and they had to admit, yeah, we were with Jesus, we ran. But then there's another thing. They went through the night to get back. Do you realize everybody would be like, wait, you traveled all the way through the night to get back? They're like, yeah, once we realized we were stupid and we were wrong, we came immediately back. They're like, do you know that was dangerous? You could have waited till the morning. They're like, no, we couldn't wait. We had to get back. We were wrong. We had to restore relationship. We're back. I mean, that would have given a lot of street cred. Now, it also is stupid in a lot of ways. But what I want you guys to understand is there's the process of restoration, but restoration comes from when people admit mistakes and they own it. So children, when your mom asks you, is your room clean? And you say, yes, and it's not. Did you do your homework? Mm-hmm, and you didn't. When you tell somebody, hey, where are you going on Friday night? Oh, I'm going here. And you lie to them and you went somewhere else. You are breaking relationship. Don't do it. It's not healthy. It's not good. It will not go for good for you or others. Anybody bought that t-shirt at that concert? Doesn't go well, does it? No. Speak the truth. Restore your relationships and be real and honest. Right? Here's the final one. New story. What do? I'm going to grab Pastor Mike's conclusion from his teaching a couple weeks ago, and I agree with it, and I think it grabs the entirety of the 7 weeks that we've been doing. Humility unlocks vulnerability, which unlocks freedom. You guys all want freedom, don't you? You want freedom. You don't want people to tell you what to do. You want to be able to make your own choices. You want to be able to vote for who you want to vote for, love who you want to love, vaccinate, not vaccinate. You want to be able to travel on vacations wherever you want to go. You don't like being told no. The best freedom you can have this side of eternity comes from vulnerability. People try to find freedom through alcohol, through illicit drugs, through terrible personal choices in life, through food, and they're still not happy. Vulnerability comes from humility. Humility comes from being able to admit that you are wrong and owning that you are wrong and saying that you are wrong. In this church, I've had beautiful conversations where I have confessed, I am wrong, I am sorry. In this church, I have had conversations with many of you in this room where you have confessed to me, I am wrong, I am sorry. And you've been very detailed in what you've said. That is a mark of spiritual maturity. Doesn't feel good, does it? It's like eating kale with no salad dressing. So here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to take a deep breath for a second, and I want you to think about who are some people I need to apologize to. Now, I'm not putting on you that you need to apologize to them today. What I am saying is if you apologize and you own your side, won't that be emotionally so much better for you because you can let that go and you can move on and you can give operating power to other things? I think that'd be pretty special. And when somebody comes to you and somebody genuinely, follow what I'm saying, genuinely apologizes to you, forgive them. And don't allow bitterness and unforgiveness to remain in your life because Satan wants to win on both sides. Move on. How do we move on? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Shea Brown, can you do me a favor? It's in the notes for Keynote. It's 9 Holy Virtues template. Can you put up just the first slide up on the whole screen? What's our next sermon series? What are we going to jump into? We just talked about shame. What are some ways that we can equip you guys as the church to be able to move forward? I put Shay on the list. You got it? You can look at recents. Perfect. Look at that. 9 holy virtues. I put up stained glass so we could have some in the basement. 9 holy virtues. Next week, Chelsea is going to jump out and she's going to teach and she's going to take us into 9 holy virtues. And yes, the 9 holy virtues are attached to the Enneagram, but we want to teach the Enneagram just a little bit different. We want to teach the Enneagram that the Enneagram is, yes, okay, you can learn about you, but the most important part about the Enneagram is what does that mean to the community of God? In other words, sure, you can learn one number, but we want you to know the other 8. And then we want to take it a different direction. What holy virtue do you need to develop in your personality? Now, let me help you out. I'm gonna help you out right now. You can't develop it. You can't develop a holy virtue. Why? Because you and I are unholy. So who develops the holy virtue in you? It is Christ. It is God. So you have to have humility. You have to have vulnerability, which unlocks. You guys see where we're going? You guys like, oh, Pastor, Holy Spirit, smart. There's planning. God's in charge. Amen? Last thing I want to do. How can you connect in relationship with God? When you've made some mistakes and you want to reconnect in relationship, it's the Lord's Supper. So right now, if you have the Lord's Supper with you here in this room or you're outside, there's enough space. We've got space in here. I'm sure there's space outside. So, you know, I'm comfortable with everybody, you know, doing what they need to do. But what I'd like you to do is I just like you to take the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a process of saying, God, would you please forgive me? God, would you please reconnect me in relationship? God, I am so thankful that you're in charge and I'm not. I'm so thankful that Pastor Nathan's not in charge. I'm so thankful that Lori Lightfoot's not in charge. I'm so thankful that Joe Biden's not in charge. And if you're frustrated by that, I'm so thankful Trump's not in charge. Like, just realize that's not where we put our hope. We put our hope, point number one, start with Jesus. He draws near. So open it up, and you get that little itty-bitty cracker. If I can open it up, let's see if I have skills. All right, I got the first one. This is his body that was bruised, that experienced pain, that experienced suffering for you and I. Jesus knows the suffering that you're going through. Jesus gets it. Go to Jesus in the pain that you have. Tell Jesus about your pain. Ask Jesus to help you with your pain. And if you've made some mistakes this week, tell God you're sorry. He recognizes he paid the price for you. Take this in remembrance of him. Then we have his juice, the juice here that represents his blood. His blood that was poured out, that marked you, that covered you, that cleansed you, that restores you. Allow God to restore you. Amen? As you take this, just say this in your heart. Lord, please restore me. Amen. Take it. I'm so thankful that you guys are here. I'm so thankful that we are growing as a church community in love and faith and hope. And yes, when we open up 7 weeks on shame, it hurts. It does. It hurts. Let's love on each other through the process. Amen? Amen. May God bless you. May his face shine upon you. And kiddos, you did phenomenal. Miles, excellent job. Ellis, excellent job. Toddlers in the back that are running in the grass, excellent job. And then Jalen, phenomenal job. God bless you guys. Have an absolute wonderful Sunday. The hour is dark, and it's hard to see what you are doing here in the ruins and where this will lead. Oh, but I know that down through the years, I look on this moment and see your hand on it and know you were here. And I'll testify of the battles you've won, how you were my portion when there wasn't enough. And I'll testify of the seas that we've crossed, the waters you parted, the ways that I've walked, singing, oh. Believing gets hard.